Good morning, good morning. I hope you are well. I've just been, we're in a series at the moment on the Father heart, on the heart of God. And today we are focusing on another area of God's heart for us. We're seeing who he is and what his heart is like. And I'm just wondering, does anyone know who this is? I'm going to click. There it is. Anyone new? This is a person called Keith. This is Keith. He's 72. He grew up in Chichester, and he now lives in a small town just outside of London. And he regularly attends church. He's at church every Sunday. And he recently retired. He was a civil servant, in London. And during his working career, he was honoured with an OBE for services to education. He's married to a lady called Jan. They have two children, two grown-up children and six grandchildren. His daughter is called Elizabeth Wayland, and his son is called Jonathan Holder. This is my dad, everyone. Yeah, great. This is my dad. He's a top bloke, an all-round nice guy. Not many people can say a bad word about him. Why am I showing you a picture of my dad? Well, as I said a moment ago, we are in a series on the heart of God, and we've been asking these two questions: what is God like? What is his heart like? And today we are going to be exploring that through the lens of his father heart, his father nature and being as father. And there's not many better ways. I don't think there's many better ways for us to grab hold and grasp the heart of God than when we understand the beauty and the grandeur and amazement that God is our Father. And this is how the Bible would describe it. So this is in 2 Corinthians. Paul is just starting a letter to a church in Corinth. And this is what he says as he starts off his letter. He reminds them about their position. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And who is he? He's the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. That's who God is. That's what his father heart is like. And so they say familiarity breeds contempt. And I think this is the case with the father heart of God. I think this is the case with the father heart of God. So often we limit God's compassionate father heart because we all come with baggage. We all come with it. We all come with these outside views, outside perspectives, outside thoughts. Some has been distorted by the media, which depicts fathers often as violent, as rude, as heartless, as lazy or faceless. However, for some, it may be through your personal experience. It may be that some have had bad fathers in this room, and so you just shudder. You shudder at the thought that God is your father. Some of you might have had good ones, and so what then you do is we put a ceiling on how good a father God could be. And for some, you just don't know yours, and so you observe God the Father. Oh, he's distant. He's far away. We all come. Every single one of us in this room, we come with baggage which lowers the bar when it comes to enjoying God as our Father. We all do that, all of us. And we've mentioned this quote loads of times during this series, but I think it's such a good, helpful quote from Dane Ortland's book, Gentle and Lowly. The Christian life, understanding God as Father, from one angle, is a long journey of letting our natural assumption about who God is over many decades, about who he is as Father, our view of fatherhood, our view of what God as Father is like, and letting it fall away slowly being replaced by God's own insistence on who he is. And guess what? This is hard work. It takes a lot of sermons like this one, a lot of suffering to believe that God's deepest heart, God's Father heart to us, is merciful and gracious. And he wants good for you. He wants to be a good dad to you. And he is a good dad to you. So we must, church, we must discover the biblical meaning of Father. And so this morning, we will explore what having God as our Father reveals about who he is and what he is like. We were singing that song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. As we do that, I just feel, when Simo was saying, I just feel that God's speaking through this morning. I do. I think just that sense of that song, we're coming back. I feel a real sense in God that there is a moment this morning of us coming back. As we come back to a heart of worship, we also come back and we see the true beauty and fullness of God as our Father. So let's not lower the bar, our expectations. I'm going to pray for us. God, I just pray that this morning will be a rediscovering moment, that for some of us it will even be the first time we discover the true beauty of your fatherhood. We'll see how good you are, God, how merciful you are, how compassionate you are, what your heart is truly like. Will you reveal it? I pray, Holy Spirit, just as we sing and you are working, I just pray, Holy Spirit, will you work in our hearts and reveal to us your character, God? Will you reveal your character to us this morning, I pray. Amen. So, I've got a few points as we go through this morning. The first one is, if God is our Father, that means our Father is God. I'm not repeating myself, I just want to hit that home. If God is our Father, that means our Father is God. So let's just take a moment to reflect on one of the most incredible truths. If you are a Christian this morning, if you say, Jesus is my King, that means that God is your Father. This is one of the most beautiful truths of the Christian walk. This is one of the most in-depth, beautiful things that's available to us as a Christian. I know for many of us, you might be feeling like, yeah, I know that. Like, I know that. We sing songs. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're a good, good father. And we just sing it. And I'm loved by you. And we just throw away lines that we're singing. And we don't see the depth of it. We miss the beauty and the depth of what he is like. J.I. Packer, he's a famous theologian. And in his book, Knowing God, he says this, adoption, calling God Father, being able to call God Father, this is what he says, is the greatest privilege of the gospel. Being able to call God Father is the greatest privilege of the gospel. He even says this, it's more remarkable than having our sins forgiven. It's a bold statement, all right? If we have lost our wonder over calling God Father, it is time we recover it. We read in the Bible that when Jesus walked the earth, he calls Yahweh, he speaks to God. And his encouragement in Matthew 6, when he says the Lord's Prayer, he calls him our Father. He refers to God as Father. And we often read it and we're like, oh, that's a nice metaphor, or that's pleasant. Jesus isn't using metaphor here. We need to understand this is outrageous. What he is saying in the New Testament, in Matthew and all the other Gospels, is outrageous. It's utterly outrageous that we would refer to God in that way. So for the Jewish people at the time, God was holy. God was set apart. He is someone to revere. That's totally true. But they wouldn't even say his name aloud. They wouldn't even approach trying to say his name aloud. And yet Jesus, he comes along. He enters the scene in the New Testament. And he says, Abba, Dad, Father. He's referring to him. And so from the Old Testament until this moment, people wouldn't speak of God in this way. Which is even more insane is that Jesus then says, do the same. He says, come and do the same as me. He taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. Not my Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. Jesus is our brother. In that moment, he opened the door for us to experience the Father. And the Father's relationship, the same relationship Jesus has with the Father, he says, you can have the same. You've got that as well. That is what he lets us into. That's what he draws us into. And this is, it's hard to describe it. It's so hard to explain the craziness of this without going to extremes, but I'm going to try, all right? Just imagine this, all right? You've got Prince William. He's a really nice prince, isn't he? You see him in the mud huts. You see him in different places where there's a lot of poverty and he's down in the ground and he's being really lovely to them. And you go, wow, what a king he's going to be. What a prince he is. Oh, what a nice bloke. And yet, God goes further than that. Just imagine Prince William walking in one of those, into a mud hut or wherever he is, in total poverty, and he sees just a grubby child sitting there, maybe even fatherless, homeless, on the street, and he says, come with me, I'm adopting you. Come with me, and you're going to come to Kensington Palace, and I'm going to raise you as my own. You're going to have a new family. That's essentially what God does. Like, and we think, oh, that's really out there and what? But that is what God does to us. That is what God does with us. We weren't born into his royal family. We don't just go, we don't just pray a prayer and we're there. No. God comes and takes us from our total poverty and depravity, and he says, come into my family. I want to love you and care for you. We weren't entitled to this relationship. It was the total opposite. But God, in his great love, he chooses us, he brings us into his family, and he gives us the full inheritance. So it says in Galatians, so you are no longer a slave, but a son and daughter. And if you're a son and daughter, then you are an heir to God. That is bonkers. That is genuinely, absolutely nuts. If I was to say to you, what is a Christian? If I was to say that to you, there would be loads of different answers around the room. All right? This question can be answered in many ways. Someone who is forgiven by God, has put their faith in Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing them life again. Amen to all that. And like I mentioned earlier, J.R. Packer in his book, Knowing God, he says this, the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God for their father. The gift of sonship to God becomes ours, not through being born, but through being born again. If you remember anything from this morning, remember this. We are sons and daughters of God. If you are a Christian this morning, if you say, I want to put my faith in Jesus, you're a Christian this morning, that changes everything. That changes your status of who your father is. Our father is God. And so that means that we don't live in fear. It changes everything. It means that we've got direct access, like Jesus, to the ultimate source of power, the ultimate source of grace. We can have a conversation 24/7, just a little chin wag, phoning him up. How are you doing? How's your week going? I phoned my dad the other day and I just chatted rubbish. He was very, very kind to me, right? That's what our God is like. We phone him up whenever we want, and he wants to talk to us. He wants to speak to us. We can cast our cares on him. It's like my children say, oh, can you help me with this? We do it as children. We're like, oh, I can't reach the cookie jar. I can't do this maths problem in my homework. Can you help me? And yet, we can do that. Oh, I'm struggling with just this sin in my life. Will you help me? I'm struggling to get through the day. I'm struggling with depression. I'm struggling with anxiety. Will you help me? We can do that with our Father in heaven. Ask him. We can cast our cares onto him. Let's not lose the wonder of God as our Father, and our Father being God. It changes everything. It changes who we are and what we do. Just as God is our Father and it changes everything. If God is our Father, that means discipline. Woohoo! I don't know your background. I don't know your upbringing. I don't know where you've come from regarding discipline. We must not equate God's discipline with earthly discipline. It's futile if we do. Do not equate earthly discipline with God's discipline, whether it was good or bad, both sides. When I talk about discipline, I'm not referring to the negative things that happen or the positive things that we experience that come our way. Instead, I mean how God guides us, how God teaches us patience, how he brings challenge to our way of living, just how he reminds us again and again, you are a child of God. That's who you are. That's who you are. Examples of God's discipline. It's sort of when the Holy Spirit prompts you to refrain from having sex with that person who you are not married to. It's when a friend at church gently says to you and points out, you probably shouldn't have spoken to that person quite so rudely, quite so harshly. You might want to just check your heart in that moment. That's God's fatherly discipline. And it's just so uncomfortable sometimes, isn't it? We get uncomfortable. We find the idea of discipline uncomfortable sometimes. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing that God disciplines us, that our Father in heaven would discipline us and guide us and steer us towards, no, you're a child of God. Look at this way. Go in this direction here. Consider it. Like, if I was never to teach my children, punching another child in the face is not a good idea, right? What would happen? Or if I didn't discipline my children, then, and I said, oh yeah, run into the road, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You run into the disaster. It's an absolute disaster in real life if we don't discipline our children. Why do we not apply that to our Father in heaven? It doesn't make sense sometimes. The writer of Hebrews emphasized the importance. He says, the writer says this, if you are left without discipline, all right, if you are left without discipline, if our Father God didn't discipline us, all right, in which we have all participated, then you are illegitimate children. That's so harsh. You're illegitimate children. If he doesn't discipline you, you are illegitimate children. It's crazy. Right, just think, if you are a parent, why do you discipline your children? Because you want the best for them, because you love them. If I didn't care what my children did, I would not be a good dad. They would pretty much be illegitimate children to me. A good father wouldn't avoid disciplining correctly, so don't expect our heavenly Father to be any different. When a father stops disciplining, that's when you're in trouble. Like those moments, my kids know they're in trouble when I go, just give me five. Just give me five. Like, we know, praise God, God's not like me, right? Proverbs 3, do not despise the Lord's instruction. The Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the one in whom he really is angry with. No, in whom he delights. That's God's heart. God's discipline is a powerful, powerful reminder of how he cares. If God is our Father, that means that we are truly and utterly, beyond measure, cared for. He has so much care for us, so much compassion for us. That verse a minute ago we read, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he Father of? The Father of compassion. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all trouble. After discussing God's discipline, what we tend to do is then we go, oh, that means then God is a good cop, bad cop, right? So good cop is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're the ones that make me feel fluffy. They're the ones who say really nice things. They're where forgiveness comes from. They're the nice ones. And then God the Father, well, he does love me, but he does it through the stern way. He's the disciplinarian, right? That's how he works. Right? We have a tendency, I think, to separate what the Father is like to what the Son and the Holy Spirit are like. This is where our human nature can warp what our Heavenly Father is like. All right? Just as Keith and I, right, my Father and I reflect something of him. That I reflect something of my dad. I can't do it fully. I might have his, I don't know, what is it? Is it his nose? Yeah, okay. I asked my wife the question. So I might have the same nose, but not everything is the same, right? I am his son, but I shine something of him, yet our Heavenly Father, right, he can be fully seen, fully observed. Every inch, every part of him is the same and seen in Christ and the Holy Spirit. God the Father is desperately compassionate and desperately caring, just as the Son is desperately compassionate and desperately caring, just as the Holy Spirit is desperately compassionate and desperately caring. Scripture is filled with examples of the Father's compassionate heart. One of the most moving is this in Hosea. Hosea 11 says this. This is Yahweh talking, as God the Father talking to Israel through a prophet. It says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called him. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed the Baals, burned incense images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them." Hosea 11, Israel has run from the Father of compassion. They've run from the Father. The more God shows love and compassion upon them, the more the child drifts away. Over time, the child even rejects the authority and love of the Father. Question this morning, are you running from the Father of compassion? Are you running from the Father of compassion? Maybe you've been running for years. Maybe you've just struggled to say, I want to embrace that the Father loves me that much, that he would adopt me that much. If that's you, Hosea 11, verses 8 to 9, just after what we've just read, God asks the question, will I give up? Will I give up on Israel? Will I give up on the runaway child? Will I give up on them? His response is, no. He says this, all my compassion is aroused. We see in this passage, compassion fully reflects its Father. As the Father of compassion, God embodies the essence of compassion itself. Compassion, even the word compassion, the meaning of compassion, it flows out of him. It flows out from the Father. And you're like, oh, that's not. Compassion is sympathy in action. Compassion is sympathy in action and empathy in action. Where is that most seen in God? It's through his Son dying on the cross. He's so compassionate towards us. This is the action he takes. It flows. He is fully compassionate. He is the Father of compassion. What flows from his deepest being is mercy and compassion unending. If you are someone like is being described in Hosea 11, and you hear this, let the Father melt your heart this morning. Just come and see, whoa, he is that kind to me. He is that loving to me. Dane Ortlund, in his book, he says this, your gentlest treatment of yourself is less gentle than your heavenly Father handles you. His tenderness towards you outstrips what you even are capable of towards yourself. You could say it another way. The most compassionate Father you could ever imagine has nothing on the Father heart of God, the Father of compassion. The heart of Christ is gentle and lowly, and that is a perfect picture of who the Father is. I hope you're beginning to see this point. If God is our Father, that means our expectations of fatherhood is exceeded beyond anything we can imagine. We need to let God exceed our expectation. Our heavenly Father is not like our earthly parents. Nowhere near. Not even close. You might have a good one. You might have a great one. Nothing on it. Nowhere near. Through adoption, we become his beloved children, and in him we find total stability, total firm foundations. God offers a relationship that is entirely wise, that is entirely good, and ensuring our position as children is permanently secure. Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." We use this verse so often when life is troublesome. When life is difficult, we're like, yep, God works in mysterious ways. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. this interpretation leaves us feeling utterly insecure. Does it not? I don't know. His ways are not your ways. Total insecurity there, but that's not who our Heavenly Father is. Our Heavenly Father brings stability. It can leave us insecure. In context, this passage offers profound security. There's this incredible assurance of our Heavenly Father. Time and again, we are just like Hosea 11. We're just like the people of Israel. We wander away. We're like, I know you love me. Brilliant. Thanks. I'm off. And you can love me more and more. Brilliant. I'm off. We can all do that. No matter how ashamed we are, right? However much we seek fulfillment outside of him, yet when we return, no matter how ashamed we are, we find that he doesn't just accept us. He doesn't go, yep, brilliant, glad you're back. And he sweeps us up in his fountain of grace and his love and his kindness and his compassion beyond what we can imagine. That's how he sweeps us, and he sweeps us in. The prodigal son is a great version of it. You should read it. This doesn't mean, right? This doesn't mean, all right, brilliant, I'm off the hook. Sensational. I'm going to go off. I'm going to have sex with whoever I want. I'm going to fiddle my taxes because I know when I come back, God's going to forgive me. That's great. How cheap do we make the Father heart of God? Let's not cheapen it. Let's dwell in it. Let's dwell in the richness of it, the beauty of it. This isn't some cheap Father. This isn't some cheap grace that goes, oh, here you go. Here's another fiver, here's another fiver, go waste it. No, no, he embraces us. It's not cheapening it. I beg you, do not belittle or cheapen his compassion and his security on your life. Instead, let his fatherhood exceed your expectations. Allow it just to dwell up in your soul and change your life. God, as our Father, isn't licensed to cheap grace. It's a call to deeper relationship. That's what the difference is. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9, they remind us that God understands us. He understands that we're going to run away, that we're limited. And so God understands our limited perspective and he exceeds it. That's why it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts and neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. How different is he? How different are his thoughts? How much better as a father is he? How much does he exceed our expectation of fatherhood? This much, as high as the heavens are above the earth. That's how far. So are my ways higher than your ways. So is my fatherhood higher than your understanding of fatherhood. What God is saying, he's inviting us to transform our expectations of what God as Father could possibly be. He's saying, embrace the truth that your Father's heart is overflowing with compassion far beyond what you could ever imagine or believe or even want. Right, he is saying, stop viewing his expression of mercy with old eyes. Get new eyes in. You are new. You are adopted in him. Change your perspective. If you're a Christian and call God your Father, that means you are in a new family. You have a new family likeness. Just as I have the nose of Keith, right? We are not just followers of children. We're not just followers of Christ. We are children of God. Part of a divine family that offers us unconditional love and care. Romans 8, verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to what? To his image. To the image of who, though? The image of his son, our brother, Jesus. That we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Just think for a moment, when people look at you, do they see the family resemblance? People look at me, they go, oh, you're Keith's son. Sometimes that's really annoying, right? And we could do that as well. But do people see the family resemblance? Do they see what God has done? Do they catch a glimpse of God through your actions? Do they catch a glimpse of the heart of God through the words that you say? Do they see your brother Jesus who provides you with a new family? Do they know that they can join the family too? Do they see that you have got a really good relationship with your Father, your Heavenly Father? And it's not because of you, but because of his great love towards you. I said earlier, let's not cheapen our Father's compassion and love. just as Jesus perfectly revealed the nature of our Father, showing us the depth of the Father's intimacy and love and mercy, it's now our turn. He has passed the baton to us to be pointing in the right direction, to point people, oh, that's who my Father is. That, just like I did at the start. That's my dad. That's what we're to do. Taking Jesus' baton, that's my dad. That's who he is. I'll finish with this. Do you live in the good and beauty of your new family likeness? If you're like, yeah, of course I do. I'm a Christian. That's what I do. I'm gonna live for him. That's what I do. I'm amazing. I think there's still more. I think you're lying to yourself, actually. I think there's more. He exceeds our expectations. Do you live in the good and beauty of your new family likeness? If you're like, no, I'm really struggling here. This is really hard. Come back to the heart of worship. It's all about him. It's all about him. Come back to our Father again and again. And it may be that you come for the first time. It may be that you say, I want to know this Father. My earthly father, my earthly family, it's been shambolic. I want to come to the Father. I want to know him. I want to offer you a chance to do that. We're going to read from Matthew 6. Why don't we stand? In Matthew 6, it's the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, he's in his Sermon on the Mount. His first sermon, his first part of his ministry. And he started telling them that they can know God as Father. Inside, the Pharisees, the people listening, they're going, you what? Who are you? He says this. Actually, why don't we, what might help? Why don't you close your eyes? And let's use this as a prayer for yourself. Yeah, you can read it if you want to, but this isn't a Bible study. We want the Holy Spirit to resonate in our heart. We want it to transform our beliefs, our belief system, our hearts deeply. And so as I read, this is God's word. This is our Father's word. This is what he says. Let it resonate in your heart. Let the Bible do its work rather than me, rather than anything. So I'm going to read. Let this be your prayer. Let this stir your faith. Let this change who you are. But when you pray, when you chat to God, go into your room, close the door, and pray where? To your Father who is unseen. And what does God do? Then your Father who sees, sees you, and your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows. He sees you and he knows you. He sees you and he knows you before you ask. And then this is what you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He is so different. Holy be your name. Hallowed be your name. He is so different. You exceed our expectations, God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Life comes from our Father. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. When we don't live in our Father's likeness, will you forgive us, God? Will you forgive us? And lead us not into temptation to cheapen your fatherhood, to mix up what a father is compared to what you're like. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thank you, God, that is who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. What a privilege. What a joy. What an honor it is to say, that's my dad. To say, that's my king. That's who I live for and long for and need. Jesus, we are so thankful that you have allowed us to have a way to speak to our Father, that we get to join you in calling him our Father. You are our Father, God. We adore you. We love you. Will you reveal your just how you exceed our expectation? Will you reveal to us how much higher you are, how much greater you are, how just unbelievably radical it is that we are adopted into the family of God, that God is our Father, that our Father is God. Lord, that we would go, wow, that we would go, that is just ridiculous, that is just amazing. Will you reveal that in our hearts right now? And I just pray, Holy Spirit, will you minister to people? I pray for the people in this room who are going through anxious times, who are struggling. Will they pour their heart out to their Father? Will they say, can you help me with this? Can you help me, Father? I need your help. And those in this room whose expectations are based on what the media say or what our experience has come from, will you just eradicate that? Will you take away this, oh, that's what a father is like? Will you just destroy it? And will we see just the heart of God? Will we see the depth of your heart for us? Will we see the depth of the Father for us? Holy Spirit, will you minister to people right now? I love that right now there isn't some music playing. And yet this is a holy, Holy Spirit moment. I just feel right now that in this room, people are meeting with the Holy Spirit. If that's you, why don't you open your hands out? It's just a sign to God to say, I want to meet with you, Father. I want the Father to meet with me. I want to know him deeper. If that's you, why don't you just start to, if out loud you want to, it's fine. Why don't you start to pray? Why don't you start to thank him that he is a good Father? That he is so kind. That he is so merciful. That he is a father of compassion. What flows from him is compassion and kindness. God, that you would do that. That you would be that kind. That you would be that merciful. Minister to those people right now who are just open to you. They want to meet with you, Father. Will they know the Father heart of God in a deep, deep way. In a new way that they've just never experienced before. Never experienced. I pray, Holy Spirit, overwhelm people with how much love you have. And this isn't like parents who say, I've just got so much love to give. No, it's beyond that. I just pray, will we dwell in the depth and the beauty and the kindness and the richness of your love, that you just pale into insignificance what our earthly fathers are like. Come, Heavenly Father, through your Holy Spirit, reveal to people the heart you have for them. That they know this isn't some hype. This isn't some nice music intervening and making me feel certain ways. No, that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to people. That you would just honor those who are just so open to wanting to meet with their Heavenly Father in a new, deep way. Will you do it? Father, will you come? Will you come, O God?